It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 112 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
Worlds is just about 3 weeks away, so we're going full on into our Worlds 2018 preparations.
Fantasy Flight has publicly stated that there will not be any FAQs altering the meta in any way leading up to Worlds, so I think all the metas are pretty well established for each of the three factions.
So in the weeks remaining leading up to the 2018 World Championship, we're going to look at each of the three X-Wing factions and examine exactly what lists and archetypes each of those factions is bringing to this World Championship.
So today we're going to be looking at what the Scum faction is bringing to the 2018 Worlds Championship. All right, so we thought we'd start off with the best faction. Scum and Villainy.
Your favorite faction. It's hard to say it's the best right now.
It's actually very hard. Close. You would be just wrong if you said it was the best faction right now.
Well, and this was a tricky one to start breaking down to analyze. We don't really have a lot of archetypes like we see in the other factions. Really, we just have a selection of reasonably strong pilots that just happen to work together in combinations.
Yeah, and just say the caveat here at the beginning, you know, when we're talking about the best options the Scum has, it's not really in comparison to the Empire or the Rebels, for sure. It's just what's the best compared to the other Scum options.
So today we're going to look at the pilots that Scum is bringing, going to talk a little bit about some of the Scum-only upgrade cards that are relevant, and then we'll try to look at what few archetypes we have here and what combinations of ships people are using. So let's start by looking at our pilot breakdown.
Yeah, and honestly, I think the Scum do have some pretty strong pilot options compared to any of the other factions' pilot options. And my negativity on the Scum faction isn't really linked to any pilots in particular. They actually have some really excellent pilot options. It's really just in list building that they fall behind. Once you have to start combining those pilots with other pilots to form a complete 100-point squad, that's where the other factions really pull ahead in their synergies.
So I kind of roughly broke down all the most relevant Scum and Villy pilots into kind of three categories. I have our A-list pilots, our B-list pilots, and then kind of our wildcard D-list pilots. I'm trying to focus here on the ones I think are going to be most relevant going into the World Championship. But let's start with the big names here, the A-list pilots.
Right, and there's really two big all-stars and then kind of one honorable mention when we talk about the A-lists. And we're going to start off with Captain Nim.
Yeah, Captain Nim's been a very relevant pilot since he broke onto the scene with the release of the Skurg H6 bomber, and has been kind of a staple both in the Rebel faction with the Rebel variant as well as here in the Scum faction with the Scum variant of Nim. Captain Nim's pilot ability, of course, for Scum is you may ignore friendly bombs. When a friendly ship is defending, if the attacker measures range through a friendly bomb token, the defender may add one evade result.
Yeah, and generally, it's just that first line of text when we're talking about Nim individually, that you may ignore friendly bombs. To be able to move in really close to an enemy ship and genius to drop a bomblet or use the trajectory simulator to launch a bomb and then run right into it is really powerful. And that second line of text there where you're adding the evade result from bombs does come into play when we talk about how you compare Nim with some other ships.
But I think you're kind of already highlighting one of the most important factors of Captain Nim, or I guess just the Skurg platform in general. This thing's got a fantastic selection of upgrades here. You've got access to cards like Veteran Instincts, get that pilot skill up there. Twin Laser Turret, of course, is one of the most powerful cards in the game. Bomblet Generator, the Genius, Salvaged Astromech, and then, of course, Trajectory Simulator, which released with the Resistance Bomber. Has proven to be a very relevant guard. Being able to project those bombs forward rather than drop them with that five straight template has become a really relevant factor in the game. And pretty much if you're going to come to any competitive X-Wing event, you're going to have to find some way to deal with trajectory simulator ships.
Yeah, I mean, so the main reason to bring a Skurg is just the weight of upgrade slots. You can just throw so many weapons on this platform. You got turrets, missiles, bombs. It's dealing damage in like every phase of the game, always firing, and usually pretty powerful attacks. It does have 10 hit points and 1 agility, so if an opponent does want to remove it, they do have to commit some resources, but it is a very killable ship. This is a ship where your best defense is a very strong offense. hopefully if you're flying Nim right, your opponent just doesn't have the resources left to remove your Nim.
Well, and that comes at a pretty steep cost, though. Most of the Captain Nims that we're seeing are loaded out somewhere in that 40 to 50 point range about, which is pretty expensive for a single small base ship, especially one that is prone to taking damage even with that many hit points. But that does mean it pairs well with a lot of those other scum ships that come in at a similar point cost. So you can basically fill out your list there with two pretty expensive scum and villainy ships. I think, though, really at the core of what makes Captain Nim great and just the Skurg platform in general is that it's really good at pretty much everything. The main factor here being the double threat of having both strong bombing potential and ordnance potential, being able to deal damage from both those sources in a single turn.
Right. I mean, this is one of the most terrifying, if not the most terrifying, ship to approach in those first few turns of the game, because usually it's moving after your list, so it gets to react to your movements, which means it's going to be really easy for them to set up that powerful ordnance harpoon strike modified with guidance chip, guaranteeing critical hit results. But also, for most bomb ships, you don't have to worry about the threat of bombs till after you've engaged. It's usually the second or third turn of engagement where you have to worry about the threat of bombs. But with the trajectory simulator, you have to worry about that threat of bombs for the opening round of combat as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in general, Captain Nim just does everything that you need it to do in an X-Wing game really well. It's got that great bombing potential, it's got access to twin laser turrets, so it's got some long-range damage, and it's still got a strong primary weapon value, so this thing's going to deal a ton of damage. And that's really, like you said, Carson, what it's going for. Its best defense is that really strong, aggressive offense, throwing bombs forward and dealing out a bunch of damage in that initial pass.
Yeah, if you're looking for high damage in the Scum faction, you can't do better than Captain Nim. But if you want to go the other direction, looking at a more defensive ship, you can't do better than Asajj Ventress, which, if we're talking about our chess parallels, this ship exemplifies the aspect of the queen piece. It's your best ship you include in your list. And particularly when we're talking about Asajj, that is because this is the tankiest ship in the game. You can't do better for defensive capabilities than Asajj Ventress.
At its core, the Lancer-class pursuit craft has a lot of great defensive options. Access to two illicit slots means these are often loaded out with two copies of Glitterstim, where, of course, you can discard it at the start of the combat phase to receive a stress token and have basically access to focus conversion on offense and defense. Two copies of that means you have some really good long-term defensive options, even if you're denied actions in a round. We also see that modification countermeasures always loaded out there. Also a card you discard at the start of the combat phase. It lets you shed a target lock and roll an additional defense die for the remainder of that round. Makes Asajj, or really any Lancer-class pursuit craft loaded out this way, really hard to push any damage through in the initial engagement.
Well, and Asajj has even more defensive capabilities than any other Lancers, particularly because of that Lots Razi crew card, which synergizes with her pilot ability to deal out a stress at the start of combat in her mobile firing arc at range 1 to 2, which then the Lats Razi crew card can remove that stress to add an evade result.
And even if you're not just using Asajj's pilot ability, a lot of ships out there, ships that are using abilities like Push the Limit or Fen Rao's ability that's going to receive a stress token, Lats Razi can remove those stress tokens as well to add evade results, which gives you a lot of strong long-term defense. We also see a lot of Asajj Ventresses using upgrade cards like Lone Wolf in that elite pilot talent slot to get rerolls both on offense or defense, and even some Asajj's going with that Push the Limit to try and get both focus and evade tokens.
Yeah, so there's just such a weight of defensive upgrades on this ship. Between an evade token you take for your action plus the Lots Razi evade result added, that's two evades on the first attack, plus you have Glitterstim and Lone Wolf modification on your two or three green dice. Most Asajj's are going to come in somewhere between like 42 and 48 points at the high end.
And that means they pair well with a lot of those other really expensive scum and villainy ships coming in close to 50 points. I think, though, what really pushes Asajj beyond just that Lancer class chassis into being a really great ship is that control ability she has with her pilot ability.
Oh, yeah. The timing of that stress ability is key. Start a combat. That means it's going to turn off expertise before they have the chance to fire. It's going to turn off Rebel Fen Rao pilot ability triggers, even reduce the modification of a ghost using the Maul crew card, because they can't use the Maul ability if they're stressed.
And at a more base level, just receiving a stress token on a ship can be devastating, particularly for ships like the Inquisitor, which depends on Push the Limit receiving stress tokens to get its action economy. Those ships getting an additional stress token and getting stress locked means that they'll usually burn down pretty quickly to the fairly reliable gun on Asajj Ventress.
Yeah, and Asajj's damage output is it's it's okay. You know, it's three attack dice with a little bit of modification. But because the ship is so resilient, it just deals a little bit of damage over time that eventually you get ahead on the damage race because they're not doing any damage to you. The trick with Asajj, though, in list building is because she's so resilient, that means she's just such a suboptimal target that usually your opponent's just going to go for whatever other ships you include in your list.
Yeah, and this is really problematic because they may be able to option to shoot the other ship aside from Asajj in your list and take it down, say, Asajj paired with the Nim. But that creates a problem where late game, Asajj Ventress is nearly unkillable with all that consistent defensive modification, especially if you're now the only ship on the board, Lone Wolf is triggering constantly. If you only have a couple ships left against Asajj Ventress, you may not get destroyed, but you'll have a really hard time taking that Asajj off the board. The last ship we have here in the A-list is another Lancer-class pursuit craft. Maybe not quite as efficient as Asajj Ventress, but pretty close. We've got Ketsu Onyo.
Yeah, and here I think Ketsu does get propped up a bit because she pairs so well with Asajj. This might be one of the only scum lists that has inherent synergies. Now, Ketsu is comparable to Asajj in defense. You can still throw two glitter stims and countermeasures on there.
Usually where people kind of distinguish Ketsu is a lot in the crew and elite pilot talent options there. You're going to go for a little more consistent offense. A lot of Ketsus are loaded out with that Dengar crew, allowing up to two rerolls of attack dice if you're shooting a unique ship. And, of course, expertise. If you're not stressed, being able to convert all your focus results into hit results on offense means that you've got a lot of persistent offensive modification that's not dependent on actions.
Yeah, so Ketsu usually boosts pretty consistent damage output. And those three attack dice hit a lot harder when you have Ketsu's pilot ability triggering to deal out tractor beams, which will reduce your defender's agility. And then you can also throw on the Shadowcaster title for even more tractor beam capabilities. So those three attack dice, when your opponent has little to no green dice, hit pretty darn hard.
And thanks to those tractor beam abilities, Ketsu's a really strong choice against small base ships. Even Rebel Bunker lists have a hard time dealing with all those start of combat and after attack tractor beam tokens out there, throwing out their synergies, separating their ships, and throwing ships onto rocks.
Yeah, and this ship is also extremely tough for a lot of those Imperial Aces to deal with, particularly ships like Quickdrawer and the Inquisitor, which are a little bit slower of Imperial Aces. So it's a little bit harder for them to escape the threat of those tractor beams from Ketsu. And if they ever get hit, that's usually the end of that ship. So this can really force opponents to either fall into the trap or play pretty suboptimally, meaning they're not going to get to attack too much because they're spending the whole game running.
Yeah, and if you spend all your time trying to skirt and run away from these Lancer classes, they've got such strong defense that if you're not really focusing and trying to drive damage through, you're really not going to do anything to them in the long run.
Yeah, and I mean, Ketsu is a pretty strong platform, but what really pushes it over the edge is when you pair it with Asajj, having the threat of both of those mobile firing arcs. Asajj's mobile firing arc is dealing out stress, and Ketsu's mobile firing arc is dealing out tractor beam tokens, either through the pilot ability or the Shadowcaster title, means you can really create quite a no-fly zone for your opponent. And when you stack these abilities together, it creates quite a difficult force for your opponent to approach. Where Asajj can pair well with a lot of other ships, I think Ketsu is really only seen effective paired with other Asajjs.
Yeah, it was hard for me not to put Ketsu in the A-list, but really you're only probably going to see Ketsu in lists that already have Asajj. Asajj-Ketsu is a very popular combination right now, and probably some of the best that Scum has to offer. But really looking at these three ships here, Captain Nim, Asajj Ventress, and Ketsu, I would say honestly represent really the best of what Scum and Villainy has for pilots right now. And I don't expect a lot of strong representation from Scum and Villainy at Worlds in the top cut. But if we do see some Scum and Villainy representation, I think it'll be at least one of these three ships, if not a combination of them.
And look, those are the three ships I flew this regional season.
Good choice. So we've looked at the A-list of Scum and Villainy. Let's move on and look at their B-list pilots.
So we have our runner-up Skurg, Sol Sixa, the other Skurg, Captain Nim.
Yes, as Ketsu Onyo is to Asajj Ventress, Sol Sixa is to Captain Nim. Where Sol Sixa is not the best Skurg, that honor is reserved to Captain Nim. But if you're going to compliment Captain Nim, Sol Sixa is a pretty solid option.
Yeah, here you're just doubling down on damage dealing. You can have a pretty high pilot skill 8 with Veteran Instincts, Harpoon Missile dealt by Sol Sixa. And with that guidance shift, it will probably trigger whatever Harpoon Captain Nim threw out. Plus, you get to diversify your bomb threat a bit more. Silsixa, with that one-turn bomb-dropping pilot ability, can really catch some opponents off guard.
Well, and you can also use Silsixa kind of defensively in combination with Captain Nim's secondary part of the pilot ability. If your opponent's measuring an attack through a friendly bomb token, you can add an evade result. Well, Silsixa is great using that hard turn bomb drop to drop things like cluster mines and really leave a really big defensive net that not only does your opponent not want to fly through, they really don't want to shoot through it either.
The Scum faction is also bringing one of their well-known longtime greats, the Contracted Scout. Still as aggressively costed as it always was, now just with fewer upgrade slots.
Yeah, after losing both of its torpedo slots as well as its salvaged astromech slot, we're still seeing some use out of that Jumpmaster 5000 platform. Still very aggressively costed, the Contracted Scout comes in at a baseline of just 25 points, which is actually really relevant because we're seeing some pretty decent lists out there running just four of these at 25 points each.
You can throw on some 0 point upgrade cards like Trickshot and Courier Droid, giving you a little bit of edge for no more points spent.
And for how simple this list looks, it's actually doing pretty good. We've seen it break into a couple top cuts there, even winning a regional this season.
Oh yeah, this list knocked me out of the running for one of the regionals. Four Contracted Scouts, that is a lot of hit points to chew through. We've also seen some three Contracted Scout builds do okay. The three-ship variant of the Contracted Scout builds focuses a lot more on blocking, using cards like Intelligent Agent to see where your opponent is moving, and then barrel rolling to block them and triggering cards like Ion Projector or Anti-Pursuit Lasers.
So definitely don't underestimate the power of Contracted Scouts. I expect to see at least a couple of these three or four scout lists shown up in Swiss at the World Championships, and I bet you we'll get one or two that do pretty good.
The B-lister that I most expect to make a break at Worlds is Thweak, the Star Viper, who has the pilot ability of always having the highest pilot skill in the game.
Yeah, Thweak, of course, defaults to pilot skill 4, but during the setup, before the Place Forces step, you can choose one enemy ship and assign the Shadowed or Mimicked condition card. Mimicked lets you copy the pilot ability of an enemy ship, whereas Shadowed, which is a really common one we see, allows you to copy the pilot skill of an enemy ship, which means that you always are tied for at least the highest pilot skill on the board.
Right, and so if you take an aggressive bid and pass initiative, then Thweak will always be moving last. And that is a pretty powerful pilot ability, particularly when you combine that with the Star Viper Mark II title granting that Star Viper banked barrel roll.
Yeah, when you have that Star Viper Mark II title on there, when you do a barrel roll, you have to use a bank template. And this is actually really interesting because it kind of gives you the effect of two different repositioning actions in one.
Yeah, you're able to usually dodge arc and crank your firing arc at least 45 degrees.
Which is normally something you could really only do with doing a barrel roll followed by a boost with some sort of push the limit ace or ship that gets an ability to use two of those reposition actions.
Now, you are a Star Viper, which means you don't have that good of modification on your attack. And you don't have an elite pilot talent slot, so I think using the Virago title with fire control system is going to be the only way that Thweak is going to be successful at Worlds. You also can get in a glitter stim there with that illicit slot for even more modification.
Yeah, thankfully the Star Viper Mark II title lets you equip another title there so you can get that Virago title on there, getting access to both that system slot and that illicit slot.
Yeah, so it's not the most efficient ship, but in the hands of a very skilled player, like what you need to be successful at Worlds, you could really leverage that crazy Star Viper barrel roll to the full extent. I think Thweak could do really well.
And Thweak's definitely a ship you're going to see more in combination in a three-ship scum list. Sometimes I've seen them paired up with two other ships that are using a Tawny Mind Link, and Thweak's kind of your standalone ace there. And that can be pretty effective and actually pretty scary. It's a different kind of list that kind of pops up every once in a while, and I'm usually not expecting it, so it takes me a little while to figure out how I'm going to try and handle it.
And last really consistent choice that the Scum faction has is the Dengar pilot. Dengar's won two worlds in a row now, but I'm guessing he probably won't win a third.
Yeah, Dengar's had a pretty steep fall from glory, losing out both of those torpedo slots and the salvaged astromech slot. We get no more Dengar Manaru shenanigans with infinite focus tokens and infinite stress from that overclocked astromech. But Dengar's still actually a pretty solid platform and has some good things going for him.
Yeah, I mean, expertise is a very powerful option right now, and Dengar is one of the best ships to put expertise on.
Dengar's pilot ability, of course, one of the best in the game. Once per round after defending, if the attacker's inside your firing arc, you may perform an attack against that ship.
Right, and with expertise, you really want modifications on both of those attacks that Dengar will get. And you can't really do much better than expertise there. Pair that with a K4 security droid for a target lock for free. Lets you either use a focus on defense or use that barrel roll to set up your firing arc.
Well, and large base turret platforms really love having those non-action based attack modification cards like expertise or K4 security droid, where they can then open up that action bar to get other things like focus tokens or take that awesome large base barrel roll and just try and arc dodge your opposing ships while still getting that really strong offensive modification.
Yeah, and while Dengar has a pretty solid damage output, multiple 3 or 4 dice attacks a turn, its defense is not the best. I mean, it's 2 dice protecting 9 hit points with pretty limited modification on those green dice.
Yeah, typically you just have that single focus token if you're going to have really any defensive modification. The way Dengar is played has kind of changed. The previous world-winning iterations of Dengar kind of relied on Dengar's revenge shot threat to force your opponent really not to take shots at Dengar when they normally would want to push tons of damage through on Dengar just for fear of having that return shot destroy your ships. Nowadays, that threat is a lot lessened because Dengar, even with the revenge shot, can be overwhelmed by a lot of attack dice coming from heavy ordnance lists.
And while Dengar is not a perfect starting point for our list right now, it can pair pretty well with one of our other ships we've already mentioned. Ships like Asajj or Captain Nim fit points-wise pretty well with a Dengar build. You can either double down on damage output, pairing them with Captain Nim, or complement Asajj's defense with a strong offensive ship.
So we've looked at the A list, we've looked at the B list. Now let's do some honorable mentions here with Scum and Villainies, what I call the D list here.
So these are ships that people will probably bring to Worlds. These are ships that probably will see day 2, but we don't expect to see in the cut. Let's start off with Tarani Kolda, the pilot skill 8 Camogula fighter. Now this is an interesting ship because, well, I don't think Tarani's going to make the cut. I do think Tarani will stop quite a few players from making the cut.
Yeah, it's not tremendously popular, but a well-flown Tarani Kolda can really upset even some of the best lists out there. You've got, obviously, that bullseye firing arc ability on the Camogula. If a ship lands inside the Camogula's bullseye firing arc, it can't spend focus or evade tokens on defense. That, combined with Tarani's ability, after you perform an attack, each ship inside your bullseye firing arc at range 1 to 3 must choose to suffer 1 damage or remove all of its focus and evade tokens.
But really, Tarani's pilot ability is that pilot skill 8 with the elite pilot talent slot, allowing him to take veteran instincts, and has the harpoon missile slot. Here we have another pilot skill 10 harpoon carrier.
And if you happen to land that harpoon missile with the bullseye firing arc on your opponent, it's going to do a lot of damage.
And it's definitely a lot easier to set up against those large base ships. Ships like the Ghost are a lot easier to have land in your bullseye firing arc.
Another honorable mention from the Scum and Villainy faction is a Pilot Skill 4 Kiraz fighter that came out in the Guns for Hire expansion. Captain Jostero has an actually pretty powerful ability. Once per round, after an enemy ship that is not defending against an attack suffers damage or critical damage, you may perform an attack against that ship.
This synergizes really well with the trajectory simulator launching Nim and any sort of harpoon dealing alpha strikes like Captain Nim or Tarani Kolda. I mean, we've really only seen this list do well when paired with exactly those two ships, Captain Nim and Tarani Kolda, but it has proven effective.
Yeah, we've been seeing these pop into a lot of regional top cuts here, and it's a pretty interesting combination. Obviously, being able to attack additional times during a round is a really powerful ability. It's a little harder to trigger here on Captain Jostero than it is on ships like Quick Draw or Dengar, but when you are able to get those attacks off, especially if you're going to be able to fire out a missile attack, that is going to be really devastating against your opponent.
Yeah, I mean, it is much more of a combo-y or gimmicky mechanic, but when it triggers, that is a lot of damage.
Yeah, I think this is something you really want to be cautious of if you see it pop up in the first couple rounds of Swiss here, because this is definitely a list that could catch you off guard, especially if you're seeing a Kiraz on the table and you're thinking, all right, I got this. Another honorable mention here that I can tell Carson's excited about based on his note-giving is the Bossk pilot in the YV-666.
Yeah, I'm pretty meh on Bossk.
And that's literally what your note says here.
Well, for me, I'm pretty sure all the Bossk players are now just playing Tarani. I'm pretty sure Tarani does the same one trick that Bossk does, which is deliver a powerful missile, and just does it at a slightly higher pilot skill.
Yeah, I honestly don't expect to see too many Bossk there, but we have been seeing them pop up from time to time amongst the finite number of Scum and Villainy pilots that are relevant.
And the ship I wish was relevant, but is sadly so not, is of course the Scum Fen Rao.
Yeah, unfortunately, Rebel Fen Rao has now become the dominant Fen Rao. The once amazing 5-dice initial engagement attack from Fen Rao has kind of been outclassed by a lot of different abilities that have become, I don't know, the driving force of the metagame.
Yeah, I mean, all the world swag is themed in Scum Fen Rao style because he was just such a dominant force at the last year's Worlds. And it's sad that he's not probably even going to be a noticeable force this year. But maybe, hopefully, someone figures it out and dodges all of the bombs and high hit point ships.
Yeah, what tears Fen Rao down is being kind of locked in at pilot skill 9 since you're using that elite pilot talent, usually for not veteran instincts. You can easily get outclassed by ordnance strikes and other ships moving at a higher pilot skill. And you're also very vulnerable to trajectory simulator bomb drops, whether that be bomblets or things like thermal detonators or proton bombs. So that does it for our look at the top Scum and Villainy pilots. You saw our A-list, our B-list, and our D-list here. Not a massive selection. A lot of what you're going to be seeing are going to be those top three pilots, Captain Nim, Asajj Ventress, and Ketsu Onyo. But I would expect to see a little bit of Scum representation in the Swiss rounds at Worlds from a lot of these other interesting Scum pilots.
All right, so we're on to our Scum upgrade cards. We had to comb the dregs of Metawing to find any relevant Scum upgrade cards.
Yeah, looking at the MetaWing resource, which is a great resource for X-Wing players over at the List Juggler website, be sure to check it out. You can kind of see what's really represented in the top cuts here in X-Wing. And looking at the top five Scum and Villainy only upgrade cards, you have to go down pretty far on the list.
And our top one for Scum and Villainy is Glitterstim. In my opinion, one of the best designed upgrade cards in the game. It gives you modification when you need it most.
Yeah, Glitterstim, a great option right now, obviously, on those Lancer-class pursuit crafts, but we're also seeing them on Virago-titled Star Vipers and a lot of other Scum and Villainy ships with that illicit slot on there.
I mean, we're seeing him on Curaxes and Z95s just to get that modification for your opening Harpoon missile.
What's really nice about Glitterstim is even though you have to receive a stress token or trigger its ability, that is non-action-based modification, and it goes on both offense and defense, so even though it's just a single round, you're going to get a lot of value out of that in the right situation.
Yeah, it's great for surviving those opening ordnance exchanges, particularly when multiple ordnance attacks are being made against you.
And it's really upsetting for your opponent if they go all in on your ship with Glitterstim because you have a pretty late activation on the trigger there. It happens at the start of combat phase. So once your opponent's taken all their initial target locks, you can then decide whether or not you want to use your Glitterstim and even combine it with something like a countermeasures where you can really up your defense for that round and try and make your opponent effectively waste all their attacks.
It's also pretty good in a key turn where you need to make sure you finish off an opponent's ship to just make sure you get as much modification as possible.
The next most popular Scum upgrade card is the Boba Fett crew card. We've talked about this one before. Boba Fett's got a pretty great ability, though. When your ship with Boba Fett deals a face-up damage card, you can discard the one-point Boba Fett crew to discard an upgrade card on your opponent's ship.
And this is great because there's such powerful upgrade cards your opponents can be carrying. Twin Laser Turret on a Ghost, Twin Laser Turret on a Miranda, Twin Laser Turret on a Captain Nim. Just so many great Twin Laser Turrets to take away from your opponent.
Well, and you can also take away cards like R2-D2 from a Poe Dameron or from a Nora Wexley.
Oh. You could take away a Twin Laser Turret on a Sol Sixa.
Or even drop the Twin Laser Turret off of a lowly Y-Wing.
Yeah, so there's plenty of great Twin Laser Turret and other options, but mainly Twin Laser Turret options for the Boba Fett crew to take.
I'm going to go ahead and go as far to say that I think Boba Fett is probably your best resource for removing Twin Laser Turrets. Moving on, we've got the Dengar crew card. This one we're seeing pop up on a lot of Ketsu Onyo builds, but is an overall really strong offensive modification crew card.
Yeah, this is the card all the other factions wish they had. This is the best damage modification card in the game.
Well, and you get the inherent single die reroll, but if the ship you're targeting is a unique pilot, you get to reroll an extra attack die, which I think makes it better in general than the Predator Elite Pilot talent, which has a very similar ability where you can reroll up to 2 dice, but you only get to reroll the 2 dice if it's a pilot skill 2 or lower ship.
Yeah, and spoiler alert, vastly all of the good ships in X-Wing are unique ships. That is the current trend of the game.
No surprise here that our fourth best scum and villainy only upgrade card is Lots Razi. This, of course, sees use almost exclusively on Asajj Ventress, but that use there is really effective.
Yeah, when we talk about Asajj as the tankiest ship in the game, that is in most part because of the Lots Razi crew. Just that consistent passive evade token provided by the stress dealt. Such powerful synergy.
And then, not surprisingly, the fifth most popular scum-only upgrade card is the Shadowcaster title.
Yeah, and I think this is probably the best way to deal out Tractor Beam tokens.
It's certainly the most reliable.
And it does just synergize so well with those dual Shadowcaster builds or other scum lists that need a bit more boost on damage output. Your more controlling scum builds, because usually those control lists are going to have a lot lower attack values. So reducing that agility really boosts the damage output for the whole list.
And we see the Shadowcaster title really often used on the Ketsu Onyo build, but I've also seen it used really effectively on Asajj Ventress paired up with a couple of Twin Laser Turret Y-Wings. So those are your top five scum upgrade cards: Glitterstim, Boba Fett, Dengar, Lots Razi, and Shadowcaster title. What is interesting, if you're looking at the meta wing numbers here from List Juggler, these all rank at 56th or lower in most popular upgrade cards. So I think that just goes to show how dominant Rebels and, to a little degree, Imperials are over Scum and Villainy.
Yeah, and don't tell me that the Havoc is a more popular Scum upgrade card, because that's a Rebel card.
Yeah, primarily you're going to see that mostly on those Rebel dims.
All right, so how are we going to put this all together? We know there's some strong scum pilots, and they have some pretty strong upgrade cards. What lists are being successful, and do we think will continue to be successful into Worlds?
Well, we'll look at, I guess you can call them archetypes. Really, they're just the particular combinations of specific ships. You don't see as much variance here as you do with the other factions. I think the clearly dominant one right now, from what I've seen, is the double Lancer-class pursuit craft, specifically Asajj Ventress and Ketsu Onyo.
Yeah, this is a super defensive, very controlling list. We have, you know, the stress dealing with Asajj and the tractor beam dealing with Ketsu, and those synergize pretty well, messing up your opponent's maneuvering, getting some combat control. All this functions in unison to just really disrupt whatever synergistic plan your opponent has.
Yeah, if I had to break Asajj Ketsu down, I think the three biggest factors it has going for it is that really resilient high defense, especially initially with countermeasures and the glitter stims there to try and prevent your opponent from doing any damage, even if they have high ordnance attacks. The second factor would be that control element there, where you're dealing out those tractor beam tokens either with Ketsu's pilot ability or the Shadowcaster title, as well as that stress token from Asajj Ventress. And I think the third point would be it's got pretty consistent, not amazing offense, but very reliable offense, even though you've got just the two shots here. You're going to really win out over time, where you're not taking a lot of damage and you're just persistently dealing out a little bit of damage at a time.
And the fourth factor is that they look really cool.
Well, especially if you paint them as cool as you do, Carson.
Yeah, a lot of people paint them or put extra guns on them for those rotating arcs. I've seen a lot of cool Shadowcasters out there.
The next scum ship combination we'd look at is using that familiar face, Asajj Ventress, in combination with another very familiar face, Captain Nim.
Yeah, why not put the best two scum ships together? Should work. The thing is, these ships are just like such a yin and yang. Asajj is hyper-defensive and Nim is just hyper-offensive, which means your opponent really has a clear first target. Captain Nim going to be dealing so much damage to them. They want to get that ship off the board. So you have to really play it really differently. You know, be really aggressive with Asajj and really defensive in your playstyle with Nim is what I've seen be the most effective here.
Well, and even if your opponent does tear down your Captain Nim, Asajj, again, an amazing late game ship that's really hard to kill. So yeah, Nim's going to take a lot of damage just because of that low agility, not a lot of defensive options there. But Asajj is going to be a terrible ship for your opponent to face going towards the end of a game.
Absolutely. The key there is just to use your Captain Nim to get to a game state where that Asajj can carry out against whatever ship's remaining on your opponent's side.
You can also swap out that Asajj there and go ahead and pair Captain Nim with Sol Sixus. So you got two Skurgs running.
Yeah, and this is going to be Scum's premier bombing list. You have quite a diverse threat of bombs. You can launch bombs of all sorts with Captain Nim and then use either Bomblet Generator or Cluster Mines on Sol Sixus to create quite a diverse portfolio of bombs, making it really difficult for your opponent during the planning and activation phase. Plus, you pair that well with consistent damage output from Twin Laser Turret and, of course, that high damage spike with those harpoon missiles.
And one advantage I think Captain Nim and Sol Sixa has is that they have a fair number of points to spend, so they can invest in some of those more expensive bombs, like a devastating proton bomb there, dealing face-up critical damage underneath shields, which is really threatening to low hull ships like the Inquisitor or even Quickdraw.
Those are Imperial problems, Tim. We're not worried about those today.
And you've got some other options here, scum and villainy combinations. We mentioned before the four contracted scouts list there, where they've got each trick shot and courier droid coming in at just their baseline 25 points with those 0 point upgrades.
You could also go for the combo-y alpha strike of Captain Nim, Tarani Kolda, and Captain Jostero, or another high damage list with Dengar and Captain Nim, or a more versatile list of Dengar and Asajj.
Overall, you can kind of see the picture we're painting of scum and villainy right here. I think it's kind of fair to say right now that this is the third place faction here. It's going to have the hardest time performing well at World Championships, but they do have some pretty good options here, mostly coming from a pretty narrow selection of really high quality ships.
All right, Tim, it's prediction time. First, how many scum lists do you think are going to make the top 16 cut?
Ooh, I think we'll get some representation, but it'll be on the lighter end. I want to say two or three, probably into that top 16 cut.
Okay. Honestly, I was thinking one, but I'm going to be optimistic and say two. I think definitely an Asajj Ventress is making the cut. And I also think that we will have a Thweak make the cut. We don't have any particular lists with Thweak in mind, because they've been kind of all over the place. But I think if somebody solves the right Thweak list, I think I could do very well.
I'm going to have to put my money, though, Carson, on that Asajj Ketsu combo. I think the control effect in combination with Ketsu's tractor beams is going to be enough to disrupt those really popular Rebel bunker lists. I guess we're just going to have to wait a few weeks to find out if we're right. So there you have it, our breakdown of the Scum and Villainy faction going into the 2018 X-Wing World Championships. We still have two more episodes in anticipation of Worlds, and we'll be releasing those right up until the week of the World Championship there. So stay tuned for our analysis of the Rebel and Imperial factions. In the meantime, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/radioTCX and like our Facebook page. And while you're there, go ahead and leave a review on Facebook with a comment and message saying what you like about the podcast and why other potential listeners would be interested in our show.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review, along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast. This really helps us reach a wider audience and lets people know why you think our podcast is so special.
This week, we want to give a shout out to Goat0126, who left a 5-star review, saying that he really enjoyed the focused episodes and that the show was useful and enjoyable for novice and experienced players alike. Thank you, Goat0126.
And a huge thank you to everyone who's already left us a review. We really appreciate those.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radioTCX and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means a lot to us.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening. Good luck with your world's preparation and practice, and hopefully we'll see you in a few weeks.